Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. It's been raining today in Boston, but it is sunny in Cincinnati, which means the Red Sox have beat the Reds, and they have just beat the Reds, winning their third game in a row.
To talk about your last place Red Sox and other news from the week in sports, we're joined by Only Games' Bill Littlefield, who has a habit of laughing before he's properly introduced. Good to have you, Bill.
They're still in last place, even though they beat the Reds this afternoon.
All right. Yeah, so a three-game winning streak might not be much to write home about, but let's talk about Yoenis Cespedes. He's the young Cuban slugger who the Sox acquired a couple of weeks ago. Seems to have found his home run swing. What do you like about this guy?
It doesn't seem to matter to him which jersey he's wearing. He hits home runs. He's an excellent addition to the offense.
What do you think? Any clues about what this Red Sox team might look like or how it's taking shape for the coming year, next season?
Well, besides the previously mentioned Cespedes, I'm not sure. I think they still have a lot of work to do, and you will notice that some of the pitchers that they have gotten rid of have done rather well elsewhere. So they got some replacing to do still.
Bill, tomorrow the Sox will be inducting three players into the Hall of Fame: Roger Clemens, Nobor Garcia-Para, Pedro Martinez, and then also the play-by-play announcer, Joe Castiglione. So question for you about Clemens, obviously kind of a loaded personality, very high accomplishing player on the field, but also very controversial allegations of having used performance-enhancing drugs. What do you make of his induction into the Hall of Fame?
I think it's fairly standard practice for players to be local heroes when they are not accepted into the National Hall of Fame. In San Francisco, Barry Bonds has a great many people who think he's terrific, whereas he, too, is going to have a heck of a time getting into the Hall of Fame. It doesn't surprise me. Roger Clemens was a star here. And of course, my own feeling about the Hall of Fame is it is the Hall of Fame. It's not the Hall of Role Modelship. or even the Hall of Good Behavior. So, or even the Hall of Obeying the Rules. Well, there's a lot of rule breakers and really nasty characters in the Hall of Fame. So maybe one day he'll be in the big Hall of Fame in Cooperstown as well.
What about Joe Castiglione? Again, a broadcaster. This is his 32nd season, I believe, doing play-by-plays for the games. Now, I don't know enough about the history of the Hall of Fame to know whether a broadcaster being inducted is unusual or how common it is. What about Castiglione being in the Hall of Fame as well?
I like Joe. I think he's terrific. And he doesn't have one of those great booming, you know, incredible John Facenda type baseball or football announcer voices, but he's great fun to spend time with while you're listening to a game, and I don't perhaps personally rank him quite as high as Ned Martin and Jim Woods, who were the announcers that I most loved when I first moved to Boston, but Joe is great, and it's terrific that he's being honored.
And as he might say today, can you believe it? Which is exactly what he said in 2004 when the Red Sox won the World Series. Bill, let's move on. Yesterday we talked about the recent decision by a federal judge that some of the big college sports programs must pay their student athletes, and whether this is the end of college sports as we've known them. So we heard a case in favor of paying college athletes. We also heard some reservations about it. So here's sports writer John Bacon, and here's what he said.
Any solution you have along these lines is going to be inevitably and always a round peg in a square hole until you sign up for the Bacon plan, which is had the same thing in basketball and football you've had in baseball and hockey for over a century, and that is viable minor leagues. So if you want to get paid, you don't have to go to Boston College or Boston University. You can go down the street and play for the Paw Sox, and you'd be all set.
So, Bill, what do you think? Would paying college athletes, I don't know, ruin the romance of college sports? Or do we need John Bacon's plan, viable minor leagues, rather than paying college athletes?
Well, there are an awful lot of colleges and universities who would balk at the so-called Bacon plan because they make a heck of a lot of money having these young men play football and basketball as well for them, wearing their jerseys rather than Pawtucket.
Yeah, hard to imagine dismantling, football program.
Well, the whole thing is a multi-billion dollar business overseen, at least temporarily, by the NCAA, so it would be hard to imagine dismantling that. I have no problem paying college athletes as long as, in addition to being paid, when their eligibility is up, they get vouchers that enable them to be actual students for some period of time and get actual training that will help them in their lives in case they don't become professional athletes.
Bill, I wish we had more time with you because I wanted to ask you about the Little League World Series kicking off tomorrow. There's one New England team in there, Cumberland, Rhode Island, but two female pitchers, a 13-year-old and a 12-year-old, one from Philly, one from Vancouver. In 10 seconds, can you tell us your thoughts about whether that could stir up more interest in by women, by girls?
It should be a meritocracy. If she can throw strikes, she should be in the Little League World Series.
Hear, hear.
Bill Littlefield is host of NPR's Only a Game, which can be heard here on WBUR on Saturdays at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Bill, thank you.
You're very welcome.